One of my favorite gospel hymns is "How Great Thou Art." And consider the verses, which I will not sing for you, despite your disappointment. O Lord my God, what an awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. And then skipping, and when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I can scarce take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart! Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Beautiful verses. And truly, we believe in a God who is great, who is awesome, but not because simply all-powerful, but all-powerful because he is love. God is love. And that's why we rejoice as Christians in this God we celebrate and worship this day as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity. We believe and we know that God has been revealed to us as one God, three divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All are eternal, equal, distinct, and all fully share the divinity of God. This is a great mystery of our faith. That doesn't mean that we don't believe in it or cannot believe in it, but it reminds us that as poor little human beings that we are, we're never going to comprehend the mystery of God. God is God. Yet, this has been revealed to us. So how can we better appreciate this fundamental mystery of our faith? Consider, we begin with God the Father. God is love. God always seeks, love always seeks expression. True love is always self-giving and life-giving. So for all eternity, the Father perfectly expresses himself in his Son, the Word, the wisdom of God. The Son perfectly reflects the Father. The Son perfectly expresses the Father. They're bound together for all eternity in this infinite, perfect love. It's like they breathe love back and forth. And that breath of love then becomes personified in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Yes, we do give them names like the Father, the Creator, the Son, the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier, but together, they always work together. One God, three divine persons, equal in majesty. Again, bound in love, a community of three distinct persons bound in love. This has been revealed to us implicitly in the Old Testament. So consider our first passage today from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs speaks about creation and how the wisdom of God was present in that creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. We read that in the beginning, so when time starts, the eternal God speaks, let there be light. So he creates through his word. That is Jesus, the word, the wisdom of God. And this creation unfolds with purpose, design, and order. It reflects the goodness of God. With that, we can remember in the Creed, we say we believe in Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made. And then Genesis tells us the Spirit hovered over the waters, breathing life into them. And this is why in the Creed we profess the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life. So we could go on, implicitly revealed in the Old Testament, explicitly revealed in the New Testament. So we as Christians know that sin had entered this world, sin had caused a disharmony in our relationship with God. To fix that, the Heavenly Father would send His Son. Jesus, true God, became true man. He became one like us in all things but sin. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, a divine person, second person of the Holy Trinity, entered this world, true God, becoming also true man. As St. John wrote, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with truth and grace. Jesus perfectly reveals God to us by His Word, by His actions. Then we also remember, as we celebrated last Sunday at Pentecost, after our Lord ascended, Father and Son poured forth the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. So, my brothers and sisters, we have had this beautiful mystery of the Trinity revealed to us. Again, though, we see the love of God. The love of God that is permanent, faithful, self-giving, life-giving love. A love that binds a community of persons as one. So our challenge is not so much to try to further explicate this mystery, because our human language is limited and our poor intellects are limited. That's about the best we're going to do. The real challenge is then to live in the love of the Trinity that has been revealed to us. So consider, each one of us is made in the image of God. How beautiful that is. God purposely has made each one of us. Each one of us is precious in His sight. Each one of us has been willed. We have a purpose in this life given to us by Almighty God. No matter what our abilities or disabilities may be, each one of us reflects that image of God. Take it further spiritually. Through baptism, we have been recreated spiritually. That, through baptism, original sin has been washed away, and the divine life of God, sanctifying grace, that indwelling presence of the Holy Trinity, dwells within our souls. We've been recreated as a child of God, incorporated into the body of the church. So we should rejoice in this, knowing that a God who is love has given us our life, physically, spiritually. If we want to then look to see what it is to be fully human, we look to Christ, true God who became true man. But then we take it a step further. For the fundamental building block of a society and a church is marriage and the family. So, here we have a man and a woman, each made in God's image, but also each who are different. They're distinct. Distinct physically, physiologically, and if you've been married long enough, you know psychologically too. You think differently from your spouse. But how do we get the best picture of that image and likeness of God? In marriage, when man and woman become husband and wife and enter into that covenant of permanent, faithful, life-giving, self-giving love united with Almighty God. And that love is so good that it may overflow in the creation of a child. That is miraculous in itself. And so a family then is a group of distinct persons, but bound together as one family in the love of God. That's our understanding. And this is what we have to affirm as we celebrate this Feast of the Holy Trinity. Now, with that in mind, we could take it one step further, especially since this is Father's Day. Now, you moms had your day in May, but we think about then the important role of a father. When Jesus entered this world, He did so in the context of a marriage between Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother, and He did so with a mom and a dad. And so our dear Lord had the marriage and the family as the context for his upbringing. Now, we look to Saint Joseph, an essential part of that mystery, even though he was only the foster father of our Lord, not the natural. Nevertheless, a father in every sense of the word. Saint Joseph was the provider and the guardian of his family. Saint Joseph was the faithful husband who loved our Blessed Mother. Saint Joseph was the spiritual head of the home, being the Jewish father and husband. Mary was the heart of the home, being the Jewish wife and mother. As that spiritual head, he led the family in prayer, morning and evening, grace at meals. He made sure they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath or to Jerusalem for the special events of the Jewish holidays. He's the one who taught little Jesus how to read the Torah. He's the one who was the good masculine example so that Jesus could mature in his humanity. Therefore, on this Father's Day, we see how essential a father is in making present within a marriage and a family the love of God, the love of the Holy Trinity. And this is the challenge for all of you fathers gathered here. You have to be mindful. You're called to be the Saint Joseph, and you're called to be that part of a community of persons that brings the love of the Trinity into your marriage and into your family. I truly think in our troubled world today, we need to affirm these truths over and over again. When we look at statistics, it shows that when a father is physically absent from a family, and half the children in our country do not have the presence of a father for most of their lives. That's very sad to say, be it because of divorce or be it because their mother was a single mom. Their father was simply siring a child. So, when we think of the physical absence of a father, statistics show the rates for drug abuse, alcohol abuse, high school dropout, teenage pregnancy, crime, all go up significantly. A father is essential. When a father is spiritually absent, that too has a great impact. Again, recent statistics show that if a father worships with his family at church regularly, chances are, in our troubled world, that at least a child has a 50-50 chance that child will grow up and still attend church. But if a father is spiritually absent and does not worship with the family, even though the mother does, the child has a 1 in 50 chance of probably continuing on in church. The spiritual absence of a father has a detrimental impact upon the faith formation of the children. Also, when we look at our world and we see the rise in redefining marriage, the rise of homosexuality, the rise of this whole gender spectrum, part of it's due to the lack of a father in a child's life. Good psychiatrists dare to say such things, because how else does a little boy see what it is to be a man without a good father, or see how to treat a wife, or how to treat a woman with the dignity and respect that she deserves when he does not have a father? How does a young girl see what it is to be treated as a woman, what to look for in a husband if she does not have a good father? And because of the absence of that father, a vacuum is made, and that vacuum is going to be filled with something, but sadly, not of God's plan. So my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and we look to Father's Day, let us truly pray that for all of us, we can better live our lives in love with the Trinity and reflect that love in our lives. Let us pray for our fathers. Now, granted, with what I've said, I know some of you here may not have had a father, or maybe you did not have the father you should have had. Maybe you had a father who was disappointing in some way. Nevertheless, be thankful for the fathers that you have had. Perhaps the uncles, the spiritual fathers, the godfathers, whoever it may be. And never forget, we have Saint Joseph. Take it further, we have Jesus. For Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. If you hear me, you hear the Father. We can always look to Jesus. So we give thanks for the great love of the Trinity. But let us pray that we can live this love. And let us pray that our fathers will live this love as did Saint Joseph. With that, now I ask all fathers to please stand for the special Father's Day blessing. God, our Father, in your wisdom and love you made all things. We ask your blessing upon these men, that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. May they always look to the example and rely on the intercession of Saint Joseph. May their example of faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you always. Amen.